Read again the text for this morning. It's found there in chapter 5, verse 20 to 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Beloved in the Lord, all creeds bear the marks of the time in which they were written. And this is plainly seen also in the Heidelberg Catechism. Because you'll notice that beginning with question 65, and going all the way over to question number 81 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question 82 also to an extent, the Catechism deals with the sacraments, the sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you might think from this that the sacraments were far more important than preaching, because there are only two questions which deal very briefly with the preaching of the gospel. Yet, as a matter of actual fact, this was not the emphasis of the Reformation. And the reason is quite simple. At the time of the Reformation, there was no dispute among all the Reformed churches, in the wider sense of that word Reformed, about this one point. The gospel is central. It was the preaching of the Word of God which more than anything else brought the Reformation about. Luther and Calvin and the Anabaptists, all of them agreed on that point. The difference was that they did not agree and they did not see eye to eye in every respect about the sacraments. And so it came about that when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, a great deal of attention had to be given to the sacraments precisely because that was an area in which there was not complete agreement. And indeed, there is not to this day, because the Lutheran view and the Reformed view and the Baptist view of the sacraments are very different, the one from the other. But the point I want to emphasize is that you must not go by sheer quantity. You must also pay attention to what the Catechism actually says. And the Catechism says that the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, not by the sacraments, but by the preaching of the gospel. And that is also what the Bible teaches. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, says Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he says, not sacraments, but gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You're born again, says Peter, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And he says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And all the way through the New Testament, you see this tremendous emphasis on the preaching of the gospel. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, not the sacraments. Paul even says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. So today I want to think for a while with you about the tremendous importance of preaching. You see, Paul in this passage is talking about the work of the ministry. You can see that back in chapter 4 where he begins to talk about the ministry. We have this ministry, he says. And he says in verse 5, we don't preach ourselves but Christ and Jesus as Lord and ourselves as bondservants. And he goes on right on through chapter 4 and 5 talking about this tremendous task of the ministry. And here in chapter 5, verse 20, he comes to a kind of summary and conclusion. Therefore, he says, having explained all this, now you can see it in other words, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice here is that the work of the ministry of the Word of God, the work of preaching, is here in the divine word likened to the work of an ambassador. And I would like to point out that this is not something that Paul restricts to himself as an apostle. You might well understand how Paul could say that the apostles were ambassadors. After all, they were directly and immediately chosen by the Lord Jesus. We are told that in the gospel accounts. He went up on the mountain one day and he called these 12 men and he appointed them as his apostles, those who were sent forth. Well, that's like an ambassador, isn't it? But it's quite clear from the context of the letter that he is writing here to the Corinthians that he is including men like Timothy and Titus. And you can see this from chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth. And you can see it again later on in chapter 2, verse 13, where he talks about Titus. He says, I had no rest in my spirit because I didn't find Titus my brother. And on he goes about that. And so all the way through this letter, it is quite clear that he is including these men with himself in the term we. When he says we are not like those who peddle the word of God, he's talking about Titus and Timothy and not just himself. And when he says, therefore we have this ministry and we have received mercy and we do not lose heart, he's talking about these men as well as himself. You see, there's two ways you can appoint an ambassador. If President Carter is going to appoint an ambassador to the United Nations, the probability is that he will call the man in and there will be a rather important ceremony in the White House because that's a very important point. It's a very important diplomatic post, and the ambassador, you see, who goes to the United Nations Assembly, in a certain way, he deals with all of the nations of the world. And so he's going to be very carefully and personally appointed by the president. But if the president is going to appoint an ambassador to the Cook Islands, he might do it by letter. He might even do it quite indirectly. And right there is the difference between an apostle. You see, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ were plenipotentiaries, as we say. They were appointed by Jesus Christ to be the founding fathers, as it were, of the whole church of Christ, and to write authoritatively to all of the congregations in the whole history of the church of God on earth. To the whole United Nations Assembly of the Household of God. Whereas ordinary ministers are appointed to go to a particular congregation. But that does not change the fact that they are also ambassadors for Christ. Even though they are appointed through the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, as was Titus and Timothy. Well, now, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a man who is called and sent forth by the head of a government. An ambassador who is sent forth from New Zealand is appointed by the head of government to represent that nation in the councils of another land. He goes there with the full authority of the prime minister and he speaks on behalf of the prime minister in telling him the official policy and decisions and will of that nation. So you really have two things that are quite essential to the task of the ambassador. And one of them is the message. He has to have the authentic message from that government. And the second thing is that he has to be appointed and called to that task. Now let me illustrate what I mean. A few weeks ago, I read in one of the news accounts that there were two Americans over there visiting in both Israel and Egypt. One of them was Henry Kissinger, who used to be the Secretary of State in the Nixon administration, but he is now just a private citizen. And he was out there visiting, and he was invited in, and he talked to President Sadat. And then he went over to Israel, and he was invited in, and he talked to Prime Minister Begin. And I haven't a doubt in this world that he had a lot of important things to say because he's a very knowledgeable man and probably the policy of the U.S. government isn't all that different just because there's been a change of administration. But a little bit later, Secretary of State Cyrus Vance came to the same area, and he was also invited in, and he spoke to President Sadat of Egypt, and then he went over and he visited and spoke to Prime Minister Begin. Now, I just ask you the simple question, which of those two men spoke with the greater authority? Well, you'd say right away, not a doubt in this world. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance did. Why? Why does Secretary of State Cyrus Vance speak with greater authority than Henry Kissinger? Does he know more? No, you see, the whole difference is the fact that Cyrus Vance was chosen by the president, and he was sent out, in this instance, as his official ambassador. And so he had a message directly from the United States government, the government as it is today, not as it was yesterday, and he is therefore able and commissioned to speak with authority. And that's exactly the difference between my work and yours. You see, you are supposed to witness for Jesus Christ. Every one of you has the responsibility to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be that your witness tomorrow at the place where you work will be very much like my witness today here from the pulpit in God's house. You may say just as much that which is biblical and true as what I say. But there's a difference in the measure of authority. And the difference is that I've been called and commissioned by the King and head of the church to be his ambassador. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Therefore, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, every citizen of the nation of which he is a citizen has a responsibility. If I was invited tomorrow to go up to the Rotary Club here in Upper Hutt and give a talk about a